Yo, yo, yo!
You're listening to
Beyond the Sermon,
episode 16!
We're ready.
Hey, let's do this thing! It is Beyond the Sermon, episode 16! We are coming live from the Batcave at North River Church, a.k.a.
Podcast Heaven.
We got our keys out. We are ready to take it for a spin. We are glad that you joined us. Michael Kennedy, lead pastor at North River Church, sitting with Scott Curlin, worship and discipleship pastor, a.k.a. the redheaded man of mystery.
That's right. That's right.
Ooh, man of mystery.
Man of mystery.
Man of mystery.
I've been called a lot worse.
That's it. Husband to baby girl.
That's right.
Ah, there we go.
Woo!
Good deal. And also sitting here with Adam Reed.
Yo, yo.
Run a machine.
That's right. Family pastor. North River Church.
Yep.
So, good stuff. How many miles are you up to these days?
We're not going to talk about that right now.
Oh, okay. Wow. Shut that down. So,
but speaking of running.
I've been sick, so. Yeah.
Saturday.
Yeah, start Saturday. We are starting up the North River Runners Group. Is that the name?
I've got a brand new name that I think you guys should
with. Let's go with it.
The North River Juggernauts.
Oh, I like it.
Do we have to run with jugs?
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like carrying some weight. It would be good, though.
Get a little weight training in with the run. No.
It's not going to be juggernauts?
I don't think we're going to go with that.
All right. North River Runners?
I think we'll just call it what it is.
Yeah,
what it is.
And, this is for anybody that wants to run or just improve fitness, no matter what skill level you are at.
Yeah.
And, we're going to meet out at Williams Elementary, 8 o'clock on Saturdays, and just, we'll have a couple of different routes for depending on how long people want to run, anywhere from couple miles on up to
12 or so.
Yeah.
Do you have something like
the level that you're at?
Like a 1K that I could run, maybe?
Is there a 1K? That would be awesome. You can walk around the parking lot. I mean, that's completely legitimate.
Scott has the 0.0 sticker on his car.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
The great Jerry Seinfeld, I choose not to run. That's my motto.
That's it. I run to eat, man. That's where I'm at.
That's right.
That's my motto.
Absolutely.
Good deal. So we are diving in today after quite a disappointing Super Bowl.
Very
unbelievable.
I mean, for us guys who spend any time in Georgia, just something about Georgia sports teams.
Right.
We just can't seem to bring it home.
We have a hard time.
Absolutely.
Well, quite not my Super Bowl champs.
No, that's true. So, if you were a Falcons fan, your passion bucket is empty today.
Absolutely.
Oh, man. And if you are a Patriots fan, we don't like you. So,
Tom Brady was definitely the bell cow.
He was, man.
He was really...
I mean, just wow, bizarre. It was unreal.
Wow, bizarre.
So, good night.
If you're listening for the very first time and you're wondering what all we're saying right here, you have to go back and listen. We're not going to tell you.
That's right.
That's right. And as you go back and listen, we prefer if you'd leave us some honest 5-star reviews.
Honest 5-star.
So that would be great.
Right. That's right.
We appreciate that. So... we're trying to move on up, get some sponsors in podcast world, and we're close, guys. So we've got a couple thousand listeners on a weekly basis.
Man, that's awesome.
Minus 985, but I mean, it's good. We're getting
somewhere
close.
In that ballpark.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting close, so things are really picking up around here. So we may be able to retire, guys.
I think Butterfields, I'm pretty sure they're interested.
They are. We had a conversation with them this morning when we went and ate for lunch. Scott is known as the hero man over there.
The hero man.
He has a nickname at a restaurant.
He does.
That's when you're moving up in the world.
That's right. You may have a picture up on the wall over there before long.
That's right.
So that's good. I did talk to the guy today. I said, if sales go down, Scott's on vacation.
So, absolutely.
Good deal. Well, any outside of the disappointing, I would call it choking, but somebody else has called it Hillary-ing. So... last night by the Falcons. Anything else besides Super Bowl going on that we need to talk about?
That's a great question.
We gentlemen, don't forget that Valentine's Day is coming up.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
A week from tomorrow,
right?
Yeah.
A week from Tuesday.
Wow.
Nice.
That's scary.
So let's be let's try to help our fellow brothers out that know that Valentine's Day is coming up. So one, don't forget Valentine's Day is coming up. So we check that out off. If they're listening, they are held accountable now before the Lord that Valentine's Day is coming up. But let's talk about some good Valentine's Day gifts that they could get for their wife.
A dishwasher.
Yep.
Scott.
Oh, yeah. So we don't want to call anybody out on the podcast, but his last name rhymes with Johnson. First name.
I think it's a soft J. Scott Janssen.
Janssen, is that what it is? So yeah. I think that was for Christmas though, if I'm not mistaken.
It was.
What he got. So. Yeah, I would definitely say don't get any kitchen gadgets for for your wife. She probably won't take well to that.
That's right.
I listen, guys. I said yesterday during the message that I have got not one romantic bone in my body. We've already heard, Scott, your epic fails for Christmas.
So bad.
Adam, you got any love for us, man? Some help in this? Or would Wendy laugh at us saying that?
No, I mean, I tried different
things. Are you a romantic?
Come
be honest.
On, come on. What? I mean,
everybody gather up a chair. Gather up a chair. Have a seat.
Yes.
We are going
to
learn.
More so, it's just, you know, we try to, we try to find some activities to do together, some type of experience that we can do together. And try to make that special in that way. Yeah, I mean, I tried when I was, when Wendy and I were dating to try to do nice things. Did some homemade crafts and different things.
Really?
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, did she laugh as you gave them to her? Or was it oh, that's so sweet? Or was it... I really wish you'd have bought me something.
I think it was more of a, that's so sweet. And she would do the same thing. You know, she would kind of give me some homemade type gift as well. So,
yeah.
That was
good. And I've learned that if she ever says, hey, let's don't do gifts this year, what that actually means is, you better buy me something this year.
There you go. That's it.
Oh my God.
I resemble that remark. So, I would say, you know, there's certainly gifts that you could get for your wife. I would say one, just honestly speaking, parent-driven discipleship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I think would be an amazing gift to give to your wife. And you could read it together at night before you go to bed. So...
Yeah. James,
there you go. So that's good. I think that you could give your wife a note.
Yes.
Yeah.
Come on.
That would be a very, very romantic thing to do for Valentine's Day. Flowers. I think are a little overplayed.
I hate flowers.
Yeah, and they jack the prices up at Valentine's Day. Have you noticed that?
Like, I love you. Here's $50 worth of roses that'll die next week.
That's exactly right. So, and then you've got the, you know, you got the whole edible arrangement.
Yeah, yeah, right.
I mean, just personally, who wants to eat fruit?
You had fruit at lunch.
I did, and the lady messed up my water, which I was pretty upset about that, but...
You held it together.
You did. Because I told her we were pastors. I couldn't chew her out, you know?
Yeah, seriously.
It wouldn't work out.
My pineapple!
Well. That's it. So,
we actually have a great Valentine's tradition. We really do.
Here we go.
We've had this, I think, since we've been married. So almost, this is our, I don't know, we've been married almost 10 years. So this is my 9th or 10th Valentine's, I don't know. But 9th, right?
Ninth. Yeah.
And I don't know why this started, but we, every year, we do a build your own, make your own pizza at the house.
Yeah.
And it's...
Is it heart-shaped?
Mine's not. No. she might take a different approach than me. Mine is more of, let's see how many different meats and cheeses I can get on this pizza. Oh, it's romantic, but it's between me and the food. You know what I'm saying?
So, I gotcha. That's good.
But that is our tradition.
So, needless to say, if you're a guy listening, you may want to Google good Valentine's Day gifts.
Yeah. Don't come here for that.
I don't think we're going to be able to help you out a whole lot with that coming up. So, church softball starts tonight.
Yeah, tonight. 9 o'clock. Very excited. Got the jersey yesterday.
I saw you try that on. So. Is it fit true?
I mean, it's a snug fit, but yeah. Just showing the muscles there and the go. Belly and oh my goodness,
dad bod.
That's right. That's showing off the dad bod.
So does that have your name across the back and everything?
It does not, and I'm a little upset about that. Yeah. Andrew Damon, if you're listening, I mean we need that. I mean Scotty the body on the back, maybe.
That's it. Absolutely. That would definitely be good.
Bone crusher. I mean anything like
bone
that.
Bone crusher. Nice. Juggernaut. I would go with that probably.
Juggernaut.
The truth is, softball in church league
right.
is an opportunity to live out your
oh man
former glories.
Yeah,
I really do think that's what that's all about. So somebody, I'm gonna predict that someone will pull a hammy tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, trying to round second, make it to third, just.
If yeah. I was a betting man, Phillip Burns.
Phillip Burns is pulling a hammy.
So, after running his half marathon yesterday.
That's good, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, good stuff. So so we got that going on.
That's right.
Anything else that is happening in the world? I mean, you know, we've talked the whole politics thing.
All the usual.
People
yeah.
hate Trump. That's people right. love Trump.
Trump is actually in Tampa today.
So, yeah.
See, I don't know why, that. But he's in Tampa.
So. That's a good question.
Yeah.
He may be buying the Tampa Bay Bucks. I don't know. I'm just
go.
Just
yeah.
speculating. So, I heard. Now, this is just rumor on the grapevine that him and Tom Brady are buddies, and he's going to buy the Bucks, and Tom Brady's going to leave the Patriots, come to the Bucks, and
that's hysterical.
So everybody will hate him here too. You know, so it's going to be a great opportunity for him.
That is hysterical. It's going to be bigly.
That's it. It's going to be big league, man. All right, well, we had a great day yesterday at North River Church.
Absolutely.
So we dove into a series called Let's Build, and I was hoping somebody was going to be out on the property today moving dirt, but that didn't happen for whatever reason. So.
Right.
But we started working our way through the book of Nehemiah, and the message this week was entitled, This Is Not About Us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I figured that I would give you guys a chance to talk a little bit about things that you gleaned from the message and try to talk through a few of those things. So, Scotty?
Yeah, I thought it was a great...
Dude, I think I saw you sleeping a little bit during the sermon.
No way.
No?
I was zoned in.
You were locked in.
I was locked in.
I was just making sure.
Oh, my goodness. You saw me sweating, but not sleeping. Thought it was a great morning. We had some great discussion, in fact, in Life Group yesterday, and I think the message really, really struck a chord with different folks that we spoke with. Really, to me, just an incredible reminder to keep our focus on the Lord as we look to the future, as we look to yeah. what's coming, what's, you know, the growth that is expected, the state of the church right now, and just the excitement around that. But really, where is our focus? And is our focus on ourselves? It's so easy to place the focus on ourselves when things are going well, or is our focus on the Lord and on His timing and His perfect plan, His perfect will? And I thought it was an incredible reminder to us, you know, relatively early in the new year as we move forward.
Very cool. Yeah, I
thanks, thanks, bud. That filled my passion bucket.
Your passion bucket's overflowing.
No, I just, you know, really enjoyed, especially the first point, which was we lack purpose and power mm-hmm. if this project's about us. And just the whole idea of, you know, a lot of times churches can get in the idea of like, oh man, it's just once we get this building, all of our problems will be solved, everything will be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of the almost, if you build it, they will come field of dreams.
Mm-hmm.
idea. And you know, realistically, you made the comment, you know, we have to keep our focus that we exist to reach people for Jesus, and we can do that whether we're meeting in the elementary school mm-hmm. or whether we're meeting in a building here on camp on this campus. You know, we are, that's what we're called to do, and that the building will be a tool to be able to reach people for Jesus,
yeah.
but it is not the end all be all.
That's right.
Because I don't think this is any of our hearts at all. But we don't want this to be like a memorial to any of us, yeah. you know, mm-hmm. as look at what we built.
Right.
Right. You know, this is just about what God wants to do in this community and the people that he wants to reach through North River and its people.
I think one awesome thing with that first point that you said yesterday, if we can accomplish it in our own power, we aren't dreaming big enough. Mm-hmm. And that's so true. I mean, we've got to look to God's power, God's strength. If we can do it on our own, we're really missing it. You know? Yeah, there's absolutely. So much more.
No, yeah. That's right. And I do want our church family to remember that as we walk through, because I think it will be easy for us to have that mentality of, man, if we can just get the building built, mm-hmm. you know, at that point, we will have arrived
right.
As a church. And certainly a building is a great tool to be able to do ministry out of. And but yet it's not going to change the way we interact with our neighbors. Mm-hmm. It's not going to change the way we interact with our community. In a large sense, we're still going to have to talk to people. We're still going to have to love people. We're still going to have to build relationships and share Christ. And all those same things that we have to do now, we're going to have to do then.
Yeah.
And we've got to keep that in mind. The second point in the message was we're without a plan if this is about us. I'll be honest, I love the second chapter of Nehemiah because it is... For me, and I mentioned it in the message, and if you hadn't had a chance to listen to that, be sure to go back and listen to it on the website or on iTunes. But it just an amazing display of God at work in bringing all the pieces together for this project to begin for the people here. You know, there's no way you could have scripted it any better than the way it turned out. And I think about that with us as well. I mean, we're realistically looking at probably somewhere between a $2 and $2.5 million building. That's kind of what the numbers are looking like at this point, based on not only just overall building costs, but site development and some of those kind of things. And just in all transparency, that is a daunting number when you stop and you think about it. I mean, when you pause and just consider... you're talking about just a lot of money. And yet, the truth is, if God so desires, he can put it on someone's heart or some people's hearts or everybody collectively, our hearts, and we can raise that kind of money.
That's right.
If we're willing to depend on him and if we're willing for to be obedient to what he calls us to do individually. So, and I think, you know, it's easy for us to sit down and to draw up plans. And, you know, we've had the conversations of, do we go in and hire an outside firm to come in and try to help raise money and things like that. And I know there are churches that do that. There are companies that do that. And, but I just keep coming back to just the realization that, are we depending on someone else's marketing, someone else's convincing, someone else's, let's just be honest, in some situations, manipulating people to give? Or do we really believe that God, through his Spirit at work in people's lives, can do what needs to be done? Mm. And I think, you know, just a reminder for all of us that if we're depending on our own plan and our own dreams and things like that for this to come to fruition, we're going to miss an opportunity for God to show up and to show out. And it's just amazing to see that happen in Nehemiah's life and in the life of the nation of Israel here.
Right.
Just an incredible picture.
Yeah, I think too in that second chapter, Nehemiah, that's where he is before the king and, you know, he has the boldness, you know, to really just stand before the king and say, this is why I'm downcast. And then not only can I go back and help fix this problem, but to the boldness of, hey, I need some letters, I need some lumber, I need all these things. But again, going back to, I guess if you really think about it, the reason he had that boldness was because he had taken the time in chapter one to really spend that time in prayer, which you highlighted as well, of, you know, he wept and mourned and fasted and prayed over... the outcome of or the where the walls were.
Yeah.
And so he spent that time, you know, allowing God to soften his own heart, and you know, allowing God to work in and through him so that he would be bold when he went before the Lord, before the king at that point. You know, God gave him that favor because I think, you know, and rewarded him in that way because of his prayer for the walls.
Absolutely. No, that's good.
I always get frustrated when I read through the book of Nehemiah and encounter the naysayers that step into the mix. You know, every party's got a pooper.
That's right.
You know, and we've got a couple here, and we'll revisit them again this coming week when we dive into to chapter 4 and talk about opposition. But man, isn't it just? I mean, you got to know that at the point where we see Nehemiah going into Jerusalem and making his journey in, and he gets confronted by these two guys. I mean, you got to know. I mean, he spent time in prayer before the Lord. He's seen God's hand at work. I mean, you know, there's just incredible things going on, and it just takes a couple of folks to, you know, call them the cold water committee,
right?
So, I mean, they just step in and throw cold water on the situation. So, note to self, you don't want to be on the cold water committee. Amen?
Amen.
That's it. All God's people say.
Amen.
But yeah, it's just a great reminder that that even as we see the Lord at work, even as we see incredible things going on, and I shared yesterday with the church just the incredible things we've seen God do in the life at North River Church up until this point, and just the reality that regardless of what we see God do, regardless of how incredible God's blessing, there's always someone or a group of people that are ready to throw cold water on it. To raise doubts, and again, this is not a group here that's asking questions, you know, or trying to offer constructive criticism or anything. I mean, these are folks who do not want this to happen whatsoever, right. And I love how Nehemiah doesn't even interact with them. I mean, he doesn't even have a conversation. He doesn't say, you know, guys, let's talk about that and over coffee or anything. I mean, he just doesn't do it. He's like, I don't have time for that. We got a mission to accomplish, and we're going to move forward.
He was so focused.
He was, absolutely. Right. The third truth that we talked about was we will not prosper if this is about us. And we looked at that in the last couple of verses there before we finished up chapter 2. And then saw the progress that was made in chapter 3 as they began building the walls. And Nehemiah leaned on God's help to accomplish this. Mm-hmm. It wasn't about him. It wasn't, you know, I love that folks have taken the book of Nehemiah and held Nehemiah up as a great leader. And I'm not saying he wasn't a great leader, but Nehemiah. How about that? Is that the word? Is that the word for the day? But Nehemiah's leadership and ability to lead was hinged on the fact of he was depending on God to work.
Right.
He wasn't ahead of God. He wasn't behind God. He was in step with the Lord as the Lord was at work, and realized that if God didn't prosper them, if God didn't show up and show out, that they wouldn't be able to accomplish all that he intended for them to accomplish. So any last thoughts from what we talked about?
Part of our discussion in Life Group yesterday was, you know, what are we excited about as we look ahead, as we think about a building, but also what are we cautious of? And I think, like you said, it's a great reminder that it's, you know, having a building is not a fix all. There will still be difficulties and challenges and things to work through. And
that's like somebody who's having issues in their marriage, right, saying, let's have a baby.
Right. Oh, my goodness. You know? Yeah, that's,
I mean,
right.
It's just, it doesn't answer that right. question. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It
might really be a little a Band-Aid, but yeah.
No, that's exactly
and,
right.
And I think it's important to see that and to, you know, to discuss it, because there will be challenges that we're not facing now because of a building. And at the same time, you know, there certainly will be blessings and things that are exciting, and just it'll be different, but it won't necessarily be a fix all. Yeah. And it's important to remember that.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, as you think about and look around, there are a lot of churches with nice buildings that are dying.
That's right.
Or that are dead. Right. And you know, that's not a knock on those churches. It's just a reminder that what goes on within those walls, and those walls being broken down, and people going out into the community, that's what the church is all about.
That's right.
And you can have the nicest facility, you can have the nicest buildings, and die as a church if you don't recognize that the mission for which God has called us is not to build a building, but to make disciples.
That's right.
That's what He's called us to do. So,
I was listening to a podcast a few months ago. I can't remember even who it was, but it was a church that was a church plant not long ago. And the pastor said when they got into their building, he said it seemed like many of the church members were kind of down and a little bit, you know, discouraged. And as he was speaking with them, he kind of realized that many of them missed the setup time and the breakdown time and all, you know, all of that energy they were pouring into that. It was building that fellowship, and it was giving them an area to serve. And we talked about that a lot yesterday with the life group. Just, we've got to find new areas of being able to serve and new ways to have that fellowship and have that camaraderie together.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's unique when you have a church that is used to every Sunday getting there early, setting up, breaking down, tearing down, all of that. And in a sense, we will be glad when that's no longer, but there'll be an aspect of that that we probably miss as well.
Yeah, because it does. It takes a lot of people volunteering to make that happen week in and week out. And I'm excited about the opportunity to redeploy those servants in other ministry areas.
Absolutely.
So I think that'll be a great opportunity for us when we do have a permanent facility. So any questions, thoughts from the message on Sunday? Anything that got brought up in the life group?
I mean, would you say that Nehemiah was a juggernaut? Would you say that? It was close.
Yeah, I would say God is the juggernaut. Nehemiah was his bell cow that just filled the passion buckets of the
people of
Israel so that they built the wall in 2 months. Wow,
it was just wow bizarre.
I mean, unbelievable. So,
I'm going to bring this back.
did we push it a little too far?
A little too far.
Man.
So I'm going to bring this back and just say, I think you left it with kind of two questions yesterday. And, you know, the first was, will it be about us or will it be about Him?
Mm-hmm.
And then the second, are we willing to invest in this community?
Yeah.
And as a church, you know, I always think about us, and I've always told our small group leaders, people that serve in kids and student ministries, of like, look, you're investing in these kids. You don't know how God is going to use you. Some of us may never even know how God's going to use you to really change the life of many other people because of this kid or this student, the relationship that you have with them. And, you know, even as we look at building a building here in this community, of we're making an investment in this community.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a monetary investment, it's a building investment in this community to be able to continue to reach people for Jesus and see people draw closer to Him. We have to be willing to make that investment. And it's not just, you know, some of us with our time of set up, like we've been talking about, you know, over here at the school. And some of it will be an investment of time, because I'm sure that we'll have different teams that'll have to be put together to help with the building and different things. But then all of us have the responsibility of the investment of money. And some of us may not ever see the result of of what can come about because of our investment in building a building and the money that's given there. Mm-hmm. But you know, you think about all the numbers of missionaries or pastors or just business people that are going to go out and change their world for Christ because they had the opportunity to hear about Jesus in a little area called Parrish, Florida. So, yeah, I mean, that's what I think we really have to keep our eyes on. Mm-hmm. Of we have a great responsibility as a church family.
Yeah,
that's right.
Absolutely, that's good. Scott, worship next week.
Yeah, we're gonna do the song "Resurrecting" again.
That was yesterday. A new one, right?
It was new to us. Yeah. It's been around a little while. But great song.
It's good.
It's one of the songs, love the verses. The verses are almost contemporary hymn-like with a great chorus. But that bridge is just, when you hear, I remember the first time I heard that bridge, I was like, that is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Incredibly.
Wow Bazaar?
It was just Wow Bazaar.
Yeah.
And, we're doing that again Sunday.
Yeah.
Doing the song "Unstoppable God" that I know North River has done a few times, but not since I've been here. So excited about that as well.
Cool. That'll be good. We will look at the next several chapters in Nehemiah. Message will be entitled "Expect Opposition," and so that's where we'll be heading.
Party poopers
this coming week. Yeah, expect party poopers. Expect that's what party. I should. That's I ought to change it.
Expect.
I ought to change
poopers.
The title. Expect party poopers.
Yes.
So.
Wah, wah, wah.
Well, thanks for joining us on this episode 16 of Beyond the Sermon, and we will catch you on the next go around.
Flippity flop.
That's it. Juggernaut out.